We are in a series that's called Camp I Want to Be Here. As I said last week, can't say this name fast because it sounds like Camp I Want a Beer, and that's not what this is about. Another thing that you can't say it real fast because somebody pointed out to me today that it sounds like Camp I Want to Pee Here, and it's not pee here either. Camp I Want to Be Here. Be present. And I'm glad you guys are present with us today. We're looking in the series about the correlation between camp and church, and how the camp experience, as great as it is, a lot of times you go away for camp as a kid or as a teenager or even as an adult. You can go away for camp and the experience is so great, you wish for anything that you could carry that into your everyday life, and the truth is you can. The truth is, church is like a camp experience. The challenge is, when you're at camp, the thing that makes camp great is it's a shared experience. You get to share the activities with people. You get to share relationship. You get to share fun. You get to share living space. There's a lot of things that you get to share when you're in camp. And it's uncomfortable for a little bit, but over the days, it becomes more comfortable, and that actually is what accentuates it and makes that such a great experience. It's the same. Another thing that makes camp such a great experience is it forces us out of our comfort zone. Camp provides this structure. And you're in this group, and this group has to go and paddle canoes, or you have to go and play volleyball, or you have to do whatever it is that you have to do, and there's an assignment, and it pushes you out of your comfort zone. As uncomfortable as that is, as uncomfortable as that feels, the truth is, that's what makes camp a great experience. Is we are forced to do things we would not normally do, and we end up experiencing something we would not normally experience. And it's the same with church. But here's the challenge. In church, nobody's forcing you to do anything. Nobody is mandating you to do anything. And so consequently, if you're just sitting here and all you feel like doing is just sitting there and you don't enter into relationships and you don't get out of your comfort zone, let me just give you a little heads up. You're not going to experience anything different. You're not going to experience anything life-changing. It's going to be just melancholy. It's going to be average. The outcome of life, the outcome of your spiritual experience at church is going to be somewhat apathetic. We have to be challenged in order to grow, in order to be pushed in a new direction. So, today, last week, what we looked at is we looked at this shared purpose. What gets us all here together? What is the motivation that brings us all here together? We talked about, and if you weren't here, you can listen to it online. I'm not going to go through it again, but you can go online and listen to it. Today, what we're looking at is the bus ride. Maybe you're not aware of this, but camp starts as soon as you get on that bus. I mean, maybe not the fun, but camp starts when you get on that bus. And here's what I mean by that. As soon as you get on that bus, you kiss mom and dad goodbye, or maybe you don't, and you just run to the bus to get away from them. As soon as you get on that bus, somebody else is in charge of your life. The bus driver at that moment takes responsibility to get you from point A to point B. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to worry about it. You never have to get on the bus as a kid and go, man, how are we going to get to camp? I do not know how we're going to get to camp. I don't even know what to do. I don't know how to get there. I mean, when you're going to camp and you're that age, you don't know the freeway system. You don't know the streets. You don't know any of that. But the problem is, you don't have to worry about how you're getting to camp because there's somebody there that is going to get you to camp. And that's what we're looking at. This camp experience is also a church experience. And in the church, we call that a spirit-led life. You're not in charge. That's something that we need to write down. We can't get to God's destination if He's not leading. Whatever the destination is that God is leading our lives and your life personally, you can't get there if God is not leading. Important. Last week I mentioned that we are all God's children and that we're part of God's family. And yes, you are. When you come into relationship with Jesus, you are a part of God's family. But listen to what it says about us being a part of God's family. Listen to what it says about us as children of God. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Another way of saying that, everyone who is a child of God is led by the Spirit of God. That's an important point for all of us. Because sometimes I think, you know what, we would be just content. All I want to do is really go to church. Tell me something, Dave, that's going to move me. Tell me something, Dave, that's going to make me feel good, and then I can go home. That's not the Christian life. That's not what God has called us to. That's maybe what we want at times. But that's not what God calls us to. None of us know how to get to where God is leading us. None of us. Whatever the plans are that God has in store for you, God knows those plans, not you. Whatever the plans are that God has for your life and what he wants to do, he knows how to get you there, not you. And that's important. Out of this, you may have heard it said, I just want to know what God's will is. It's said to me all the time, Dave, can you help me know what God's will is? What they're saying, when they make that statement, and maybe you've made that statement, what is God's will for my life? What is God's will for my life today? What does God want? Those are questions about a Spirit-led life. That's what we're looking at. Part of what makes this church experience great, too, is that we're not in charge, which is really important. Someone else has everything planned out for us at camp. Somebody else has all the activities. Somebody else is providing all the food. Somebody else is getting us there. It's the same with God. God is the one who plans out your life. He's the one who provides for you. He's the one that is leading, guiding, and directing you. It is the very same thing. The only thing is at camp, you are forced to follow the leader. There's a camp director that you're forced to follow. They will tell you everything you need to do. In our spiritual lives, we're not forced to do anything. So consequently, what happens is we kind of at times get misled. We're going to look at those today. Another issue that we face because we're not in charge is a lot of us have control issues. Like we have a better plan, we have a better way, we have better timing. God, you're too slow. Oh. For our experience to be great, you can write this on your notes, we have to relax and let God lead. And that's something that is not done one time, it's something that's done every single day. I've got to relax and let God lead. Because this is about God's journey, not my journey. If I'm going to get into the direction where God is leading me, I think God has to be leading. And I've got to relax. I can't be fighting it. I can't be challenging him. I can't be saying, hey, you know what, God? I know you said this way, but I like the scenery this way. You can't. I didn't say it would be easy, but we have to make choices. And you've heard this before, but life is a series of choices. We all make choices in our lives, and then our choices make us. All of us make choices, but it's the choices that we make that define who we are and shape our lives. So Galatians 5:25 is a really important verse for those of us that choose to follow Christ. It says this, since we are living by the Spirit, in other words, since the Spirit has given us life, since it's the Spirit who's given us life, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Every part. Not just the big things, not just Sunday, every part of our lives. The Spirit wants to be a part of your daily life. God's will is that we're following the Spirit's leading in the little things. There's a story I heard of this week. Couple, they had a dentist appointment, so they went to the dentist, and it was just, you know, like any typical day you go to the dentist, and they went, and while they were there, they checked in, they sat down. They sat down and they noticed a woman who was visibly shaken, tears, sobbing, hands in her face, visibly shaken. Something desperate, something bad was going on in her life, and it was obvious. And there's many of us that at that point would have kind of looked the other way. Maybe watched TV. Maybe you said a prayer. Maybe that's a good one. We'd say a little prayer for them. This couple, though, what they did is the wife immediately says this, God, what am I supposed to do? That's a totally different response because I'm going to be straight up. There's times that I've been in situations like that and I've gone, okay, there's the TV, let's watch that. I hadn't even thought about what that statement she made. God, what is it you want me to do? And she heard this voice that said this, pay for it. Now, she didn't know that this lady was crying because of any kind of bill that was there. Pay for it. She replies, how much? He says, all of it. Now, this isn't a wealthy person. This is a person that they have some money put in the savings, but they know that anything that they're going to give, especially at a dentist office, is going to take up more than what they really have available, and so they knew that it was going to be making things tight. She immediately goes to her husband, and she says, what are we supposed to do about this? He says, I don't know, what are you feeling? She says, God says we're supposed to pay for it. He says, how much? God said all of it. And he said, all right, let's do it. They go up to the counter, they find out what the bill was, take care of it, paid for it, done. That is a Spirit-led life. That is a life that is not self-absorbed, but in the moment, looking for leadership. In the moment, God, what do you want to do with me in this? The Spirit wants to lead in all areas of our life. In all areas of our life, the big and the little things. Like the bus ride, having the bus driver who's in control, the bus driver is in charge of getting us there, and the bus ride is full of starts and stops. And it's the same when you're with God and He's in charge. That life is a series of stops and starts. The journey that we're on with God is not full, it's not a sprint all the way. It's a series of stops and starts that God is leading us in. And it's in that metaphor that I want to look today, and I want us to just look at some things we need to stop. If we're going to experience a Spirit-controlled life and a Spirit-led life, then there are some things that we've got to stop, and then there's some things we've got to start. So first of all, let's look at what we need to stop. First thing is this: I can't follow a culture that's not following God. If you want God's leadership, if you want God's direction, if you want God to do something, if you want His will to be in charge in your life, you can't follow a culture that's not following God. We tend to get caught up in what everyone else is doing. I know social media is a big part of that, but that's not the problem. The problem is there's something inside of us that really wants to be doing what other people are doing. This was Israel's problem. God was constantly calling them to be a different people, a different nation, and they were constantly trying to be like other cultures. And it continually got them into trouble. Romans 12:2 says this: do not copy the behavior or values of this world. Instead, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is. Listen, if we're going to be led by God, we are going to think differently than the world. That's important to know. If you're going to be led by the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to think differently than the world. Your values are going to be different. I'm not going to mention a person's name, but somebody recently bought some property and they needed help. And they had a family member that helped them with their financing and looking into their finances for this property that they were going to buy. And this family member says this: oh my God, how you give this much money to your church? She says, yeah, that's what God asked of me. This is what God's leading me. This is what God wants from me. Do you know what you could do with this money? Do you know what you could do? You know how you could apply for so much more? She says, listen, she said, my family doesn't get it because their values are different. And a lot of times what we do is we base our lives on the values of the world, and we wonder why we're not getting God's direction. You can't follow a culture that's not following God. Here's another one, another thing we need to stop. I can't follow friends who aren't led by God. This is the big one. I don't need to elaborate on this, but I can't follow friends that are not being led by God. Listen, I'm telling you, sometimes we can't hear God's voice because we're so tuned in to listening to our friends. Sometimes we have asked our friends, hey, what should I do in this situation? And our friends tell us, but we've never even stopped to think, what does God want me to do? We've never even asked God. Or maybe you have asked God, and rather than waiting or accepting God's response, we go, well, that didn't sound good. All right, well, now I'm going to go to my friends and ask them. Peer pressure is real, no matter what age you are, and it keeps us going in the wrong direction. And 1 John 3 says this: do not let anyone lead you in the wrong way. Christ is righteous, so be like Christ. You must do what is right. And anyone who keeps on sinning is being led by the devil. Listen, getting counsel is good. It's important. But in our world today, listen, can I just be straight up with you? Can I be real? In our world today, we have believers getting advice and counsel from unbelievers on how to live their life. I'm not looking at anybody, okay? So, don't Don't think my eye contact is I'm pointing you out. I'm excited. Listen, that's our world today. Our world is this. I'm a believer and I want my life to be about God and I want God's direction for my life, so I'm going to ask somebody that has no clue about God, and I'm going to ask them, what should I do? That does not make sense. That's not what the scripture tells us to do. That's not what... Now listen, I'm not saying that counseling is bad, but there's great Christian counseling and there's great counsel that we get from godly people. And I think sometimes we get counsel from people when we're going through a difficult time in a marriage or we're going through a difficult time in a relationship and our friends are saying, hey, dude, just divorce her. It's easy. Screw her. That's it. Let her go. And we kind of base our decisions on the world. It's not the way it's supposed to be. Psalms 1:1, a lot of you know it, but it says this, blessed is the man or woman who follows, who is not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. And I'm not saying you have to stop the relationships with these people because God called us to be a light in our community, but let me just say it this way. You're either a thermometer or a thermostat. You're either determining what the culture is around you, the atmosphere that you're in. You're either affecting that or you're just reflecting it. It's up to you. God wants us to be a thermostat, not a thermometer. Here's another thing we need to stop. I can't look to other sources besides God. This probably doesn't affect anyone in here, but I just wanted to mention it because I think you never know. Just like you can't seek counsel from people that aren't believers, if you're wanting a life that is directed by God, we can't seek counsel from people that are reading our future, speaking into our destiny, and then our response is we believe it's God. And I'm talking about whether it's palm reading, tarot cards, I'm talking about psychic hotline or your horoscope. I know there are believers that put their belief system into this and then to say this, hey, that's God's will. That's God's will for my life today. I got to read my horoscope because it tells me what I'm supposed to do. Let me just read this. Out of Deuteronomy, it says, do not let people practice fortune telling or use sorcery or interpret omens, or engage in witchcraft, or cast spells, or function as mediums, psychics, or call forth spirits from the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. Detestable. We can't say, I'm looking, searching out God's will, and I want what God wants, so I'm going to read my horoscope, or I got to go to the palm reader, or I got to talk to my psychic. That doesn't make sense, guys. And you know that. So I'll leave it alone. Here's another thing we need to stop. I can't be led by circumstances. Sometimes we do this because everything feels right or because all these circumstances are falling into place. It must be God's will. It's not necessarily the case. I'm not going to read the whole scripture because you can read it later on your own. But in Acts, Paul is being shipped to be imprisoned. And God says, listen, you get on that ship and the ship is going to sink. Tell them not to sail out. So Paul tells him, listen, we can't sail out. Storm coming, we can't do this. And the sailor and the captains, they say, they don't want to listen. In fact, here's what they said. When a light wind began blowing from the south, the sailors thought they could make it, so they pulled up anchor and sailed close to the shore of Crete. In other words, this. A storm is coming, but the circumstances said, hey, there's this light wind, there's this nice breeze, we can make it. We can beat the storm. Circumstances should not lead our life. And I'll say it this way. Yeah, I'll just leave it at that. Here's another one, last one. I can't be led by my feelings. Proverbs 14 says, you may feel like you're on the right road and still end up dead. Feelings are temporary, they're erratic, they're not to be trusted. Feelings are affected by how you eat, your diet, your sleep patterns, many different things, and they are all over the place. You can't base God's direction in your life on how you feel, but I'll tell you, a lot of people do. And in a very good way, I'm going to say it's an innocent way, if I can't, because what people look for is peace, and they say things like this. I just don't sense God's peace about this, so it must not be God's will. Well, let me just tell you something. Jonah didn't sense God's peace when he said, go to Nineveh, right? When God ever calls us to a life of faith, that's not always a life of peace. Here's what the scripture does say, that if you have any anxiety or any worries, that you should pray, and your prayers will produce peace that passes all understanding. It doesn't say that the circumstances are going to be peaceful and you're going to sense peace, and then that's why you can go this direction. Listen, if you're looking for peace and God's asking for faith, you're going to be in a stalemate. If you have fear in your life about a direction that God is leading you and God's asking for faith or courage, you're going to be at a stalemate because you're going to say, I'm a little fearful about this, and I know that God would not want me to do something that makes me scared. I say that with the utmost respect that we all do that. We base God's direction on our feelings. So quickly, those are things that we have to stop. I know that there's five things, and you're thinking, good Lord, Dave, how long are you going to talk? I'm going to go through these quick, okay? So buckle up your seatbelts, and we'll make this fast. Five things that we need to start to be led by the Holy Spirit, and that's this. We need to start, it all starts with relationship with Jesus. Outside of relationship with Jesus, you can't be led by the Holy Spirit, because as we accept Christ into our life, that's where God's Spirit comes and takes residence. As His Spirit takes residence in our life, that's why He speaks. And that's where, again, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. My sheep, because the Holy Spirit now indwells me, His voice I can hear and I can follow. Outside of relationship with Jesus, you're not going to be able to understand or decipher God's direction for your life. Starts with a relationship. We also need to start wanting to be led. In other words, we need to have the decision beforehand. God, the answer is yes. Wherever you lead, yes. This isn't a thing of if I like where you're leading me, I'll say yes. God, the answer is yes, wherever you're leading. I just want to live my life in a way where you're in control. Here's what Galatians 5 says. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature desires. We have to let or want the Holy Spirit to lead us. Another place we need to start is this, and this is a big one, I realize, is we need to start looking into God's Word. 2 Timothy tells us that all Scripture is inspired by God. It is God-breathed, and it is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what's wrong in our lives, to correct us when we are wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. And then Jesus says this, before He leaves, He says, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and remind you of everything I've told you. Okay, now how are we're reminded of what Jesus has said, and where do we discover what Jesus has said, or what He said? We discover what Jesus has said in the Scriptures. So if we're not in the Scriptures, if we're not reading, if we're not looking for direction in our life, we can't base decisions when we don't have God's Word, when we're not experiencing it. Psalms 119, many of you know it. It says, guide my steps by your word so I will not be overcome by evil. We all need to be led by God's Word. Another thing we need to start is this. I need to start thinking about things that please God rather than things that please me, rather than things that please ourselves. I need to start thinking about things that will please God. Romans 8 says this, those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. Another thing is I need to start living to please the Spirit. It's one thing to think about things that please the Spirit. It's another thing to start living to please the Spirit. It says those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. I'm going to add one more. It's not on your notes. You can write it down if you want to. If you don't, forget it. And that's this. If I want to be led by God's Spirit, I've got to start praying and listening to God's voice. I've got to start praying and listening to God's voice. It's kind of like the couple that I was talking about earlier in the dentist office. Hearing God is not reserved for the special people. Being led by the Holy Spirit is not reserved for the super spiritual people. Being led by the Spirit is experienced by those who have given God control of their lives. They're not fighting Him. They're not trying to find their own way. They're surrendered. That's what God's asking from us. You want to experience a life where God is in charge, then relax and let Him lead. Spirit-controlled life begins with a relationship. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus today, I know that God's already speaking to you.
I know that God is speaking to you. And when God speaks, we have to be listening and doing what he's asking. We can't say, God, I want you to lead me and I want you to guide me. But, you know, when he's saying, hey, I want you to spend time with me, and we go, oh, you know, anything but that. What God's already told us to do, we need to start doing. Look, nobody's looking around. This is a personal thing between you and God. If you want to begin that relationship with Jesus and you never have, just put your hand up, put it right back down. That's it. Up, down, you're done. Okay? If you're here, maybe you've been listening to your friends, maybe you've been listening, trying to fit into a culture, I don't know, but I do know this. God has a plan for your life, and it's far greater than what we can get on our own. And I just want to pray for you. We're going to be available to pray with you afterwards if you want us to pray with you. But before we dismiss, I just want to pray for all of us. Father, for every person that's here, wherever they find themselves, whatever it is that they're experiencing in their life, Father, I know that inside of us you put a desire for more, desire for greater significance, a desire to be used of you. And Father, it is so draining to be in charge all the time, to be the one determining where we're going, what we're doing, how we're going to get there, how we're going to provide for it. And Father, we need to just learn to relax and let you lead. And Father, what I'm asking today is that that's what would be the process. Never will we experience something so significant in our lives until we learn to let go and trust you. And that's what we do today. We begin that process. And I ask that you would help each one of us. Help us to spend time with you, to listen. Father, help us not to try to fit into the culture or try to fit into other things and allow other principles that are contrary to your will to be a part of leading our lives. Father, give us clear direction, a clear voice, a clear purpose for today. In Jesus' name, amen.